This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, October 4th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on the Memorial of St. Francis of Assisi. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us to start your week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On this first Monday in October, can you believe that Advent is right around the corner? We aren't overlooking Halloween or All Saints Day or Thanksgiving, but the Advent season just isn't very far off. Advent is a time of joy, hope, and anticipation of Christ's birth, the whole reason for the Christmas season. Now, Relevant Radio wants to give you a beautiful outdoor nativity set valued at over $500. We want you to have it in plenty of time to display it through the Advent and Christmas seasons. We're giving away a set to 200 very blessed listeners. Register to win a set at relevantradio.com/nativity. All you have to do is do it before October 15th at midnight Central Time. You have to sign up by then. This Advent, let's boldly proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ in our neighborhoods. Remind your neighbors to let Christ into their hearts and their homes by displaying an elegant hand-painted nativity set from Relevant Radio. You can register right now, today. You can do it at relevantradio.com/nativity. Now, as we do every day and every hour, we always begin in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up shortly, conventual Franciscan Father Benedict La Volpe, the rector of Marietown, will join us to talk about the Feast of St. Francis, the great saint and giant of holiness. A little bit later in the show, at the bottom of the hour, a professor of theology, Annabelle Mosley, will be with us to discuss devotions to the saints for the month of October, including the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more, much more coming up here this hour on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the playbook of life, as we do every day, is from John 15:5. Jesus the Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that without him, we cannot do anything. A branch cannot grow if it's disconnected from the vine. We can only bear fruit that is achieve personal holiness, do good works, and keep the Lord's commandments by the grace of God. Christ is the true source of all of the church's work and our lay apostolates. Without Christ, we cannot do anything, but with him, everything is possible according to his will. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, that's 888-914-9149. Now, as I mentioned today, the Catholic Church is celebrating the Memorial Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of Italy and the founder of the Franciscan Order. St. Francis of Assisi astounded and inspired the Church by taking the gospel literally, by actually following all that Jesus said and did joyfully, without limit, without a sense of self-importance. St. Francis is probably the most well-known saint, even for non-Catholics, but how well do we really know the real St. Francis. Joining us now is conventual Franciscan Father Benedict La Volpe, the rector and guardian of the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe at Marytown in Libertyville, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. Father Benedict entered the conventual Franciscans in Australia back in 1995. He studied theology in Melbourne, completed his licentiate in Franciscan spirituality at the Seraphicum in Rome, and was ordained to the priesthood in 1995. Father Benedict was assistant priest to Our Lady of the Rosary Parish, Kellyville in northwest Sydney, from his ordination until November of 2009, and then the pastor and guardian of St. Joseph's Springvale in Melbourne until August of 2018. Good morning, Father Benedict. Welcome to Morning Air. Thank you so much for being with us on this special day, the Feast of St. Francis.
Good morning, John, and yes, it's a great privilege to be asked on your program this morning, and a happy feast day to you and to everyone there at Relevant Radio. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's a blessing to have you. And first of all, love to get your perspective on why you think that St. Francis is such an enduring personality, so much appeal almost 8 centuries after his death, and even to non-Catholics.
You know, I suppose it's all the answer to that question is in the very person of Saint Francis. You know, I don't think any saint has ever, really followed Christ so closely, so personally, so intimately, to the point of even receiving, you know, the stigmata as a sign from our loving Savior to say, look, you have followed me even more closely and be like me. And I think it's just the charism, but you know what? It's also a little bit of the myth around St. Francis as well. I often joke in my homilies regarding St. Francis that we almost think of him as a kind of medieval hippie, you know, someone who's, you know, running through the sunflowers of Assisi and talking to the animals like some Dr. Doolittle. And that's nice. And the myth is always nice because, of course, you know, the myth kind of perpetuates this great love and interest in St. Francis. But it really isn't who the real Francis was, of course. But, you know, I think his simplicity, humility, that's all the things that contribute to this great love, this worldwide and interdenominational love for St. Francis of Assisi.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that image that probably comes from Hollywood, from the movies. For those of us that are a little older, they might remember the old Franco Zeffirelli movie about St. Francis, Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, and I guess that's sort of the way they depicted him, as sort of this medieval hippie.
Indeed, it is probably one of my least favorite movies of all time, because unfortunately it does give a rather skewed vision of who St. Francis really is. And, you know, he was canonized only 2 years after his death. He died in 1226, he was canonized in 1228. And the very first office that was written for, you know, the feast day was written by a great friar called Julian of Spire. And for the very first Vespers, this was the antiphon that Julian wrote for the very first Vespers back in 1228. He wrote, Francis, the valiant Catholic and perfectly apostolic, did instruct us to adhere to the faith of the Roman Church and those who were her priests. He'd urge we should most of all revere. I mean, what a beautiful thing to say about Francis only 2 years after his death. So it's very fresh. It's very much the Francis that the friars knew, as someone who was truly, in Latin, vir catholicus, a holy Catholic man, and truly apostolic as well.
Absolutely. Father Benedict, obviously, that image from the movies is a little silly. Talk to us about the real St. Francis, especially when, as a young man, what was he like? This young guy came from a privileged family that eventually would be one of the most beloved saints of all time.
Yes, well, you know, Francis led a rather colourful sort of life in his younger days. He was, you know, I suppose back in Australia we'd call him a bit of a hooligan, but he was fun loving. He had friends. He liked to, you know, obviously he lived off his father, and that became very clear afterwards when his father became so angry with him. Firstly for selling his goods and giving the money to the poor, and then later, of course, abandoning his father when the Bishop of Assisi, of course, embraced him and then Francis became really truly part of the church. So it was very clear that Francis lived off, you know, his father's earnings. He lived the high life, and he didn't care for anything. It was really until, you know, he was in the war with Perugia, and he was captured, and he was a prisoner for a year, that things started to really change in his heart, and he started to embrace. He started the journey of embracing the gospel. We often speak about, you know, the conversion of Francis, but really, like anyone else, it wasn't just one conversion, it was a series of conversions that led him to be the saint that we know today.
Absolutely. What about that relationship with his father? There's the truth, and then there's some of the myths. In fact, the movie portrayed of Francis denouncing his father's lifestyle in front of the bishop and then stripping off all his clothes. Did that actually ever happen, Father?
Well, yes, because it's in the early biographies as well, and, you know, even in the sort of the legends of the time. But, you know, firstly, I mean, Francis actually did kind of the wrong thing because he took his father's goods. I mean, that's actually stealing when you think about it. And but he did give the money to the poor. That sort of broke, his father's name was Pietro Bernardone. That kind of broke him, and he sort of had enough by this stage. Francis did go to the cathedral. It's said that the bishop was most probably celebrating, you know, some sort of vespers or something, because he was dressed appropriately for the occasion. And then there was this altercation outside the piazza, outside the cathedral. And Francis and his father were kind of having it out Italian style. I can say that because I'm Italian myself. And when the ruckus was brought to the bishop's attention, he comes out, and Francis then takes everything off and says, "What is yours. From now on, I only call my father who art in heaven." And from that moment, of course, the bishop covers Francis, because he's actually literally naked in the piazza, with his mantle, because he was celebrating some sort of liturgical service in the cathedral. And that was a very symbolic way of the bishop taking Francis into the mantle of the church.
Outstanding. We're joined by Father Benedict LaVolpe, the rector and guardian of the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe at Marytown in Libertyville, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. Father Benedict, you mentioned that Francis's conversion was really a series of conversions. Can you give us a couple of highlights of that conversion experience for St. Francis?
Oh, yes, most definitely. So, of course, the moment, you know, his time in prison was the beginning of all this. One of the greatest moments of his conversion was the meeting of the leper, a very important moment in the life of Francis, because, you know, this is the 1200s Assisi, as has been the case in most of human history. The lepers were kept outside, you know, the city walls. It's believed that he was riding past. He was on his horse. He dismounted, and rather than run away from the leper, he literally went and embraced the leper and kissed the leper. And the biographers say he kissed him tenderly on his lips. I mean, what a very sort of intimate way of Francis sort of embracing Christ, really, because he was able to see Christ in the leper. Another great moment for Francis, and let's say his conversion, was when he was praying, in the abandoned chapel of San Damiano, down the hill from Assisi, and, he literally hears Jesus speak to him from the cross. He says, "Francis, repair my church, which is falling into ruin." Of course, Francis takes those words literally, and ends up, I think, rebuilding three churches before he realizes that our Lord was talking about the church, his body. And, just the fact that then the brothers start to join him, he's, he's spending his nights in prayer. These are all moments of conversion that bring him to the great realization that he was called to something greater. You know, the reading of Matthew's Gospel in the chapel as well, just take one tunic, et cetera, et cetera. These are all moments of conversions for Francis.
He had a special relationship with the animals and with nature. Maybe a quick thought on his love of the animals. Yesterday, even non-Catholics in some Episcopalian churches got their animals blessed, obviously, along with our Catholic brothers and sisters who brought their Snoopies and their kitty coos to get them blessed.
We did. I think I blessed something like 30 dogs here on Saturday, our blessing of the pets here at Marytown. Again, myth versus reality, yeah? So it's nice. Of course, you know, he's a patron of nature, but he was did this great sort of attraction and relationship with animals actually exist? No more than probably anyone else. It's because, you know, in his beautiful Canticle of the Creatures, which is a masterpiece in Italian poetry, let alone religious poetry, he uses, of course, all of nature to praise the Lord. Unfortunately, sometimes that's turned around a bit, and it turns Francis almost into a pantheistic icon, which, of course, he certainly wasn't. But his love for nature is simply because, as even St. Bonaventure a few decades later would remind us, his love for nature is because he could see Christ reflected through nature. You know, creation is a reflection of God's love for us, which is very Franciscan sort of understanding of creation. And the Canticle of the Creatures, you know, the Laudato Si poem that Francis wrote, you could see that he goes through all of nature, all of creation, showing how their creation is a reflection of God's love for us. And therefore, we praise God for having given us this wonderful creation, which, of course, we use. And in Pope Francis's Laudato Si, he brings out that very clearly of our responsibility to look after the gifts of nature because we are stewards.
And Father Benedict, you can't talk about St. Francis without talking about the miraculous wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ that he received in the stigmata. That is something that is so special and unique to St. Francis.
Yes, so, you know, this was only 2 years before he died in 1224. And it's interesting, you know, when we talk about the dark night of the soul, we often, you know, talk about St. John of the Cross, you know, a few hundred years later. But Francis was experiencing his dark night of the soul. He was alone, always with a brother, of course, up at Mount Laverna. And he was experiencing great desolation, not from Christ, but just desolation from the order, from his brothers, the Franciscan order. And he just wanted to be at one with Jesus. Francis would fast many times throughout the year, including up to the feast of Saint Michael. And it is said that on the feast of the triumph, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, which is, of course, on the 14th of September, he did experience that wondrous moment when the seraph, the six-winged seraph, which are the angels closest to God on fire, appeared to Francis with the crucified Christ in the middle of the seraph, giving him the five wounds. And that was a moment of, you could say, sealing Francis with Christ. It's the moment that Christ acknowledges that Francis is so close to him, as mentioned earlier, that he wouldn't even to allow Francis to be even closer to him by gifting him the five wounds. So the five wounds, which of course were painful, the five wounds which of course would bleed, the five wounds which he had until the day he died, the night of the 4th of October in 1226.
Father Benedict, I know you have to say Mass here in just a few minutes, so we wanted to get one final thought from you of just how special it must be for you as a conventual Franciscan to be part of the Franciscan order that St. Francis himself was the founder. How special is it to be part of the Franciscans for you?
Well, incredibly so. I've been a friar since novitiate 25 years, so it's a very important part of my life. It is my life. And, you know, the thing that keeps us all going, I suppose, every single day, be it First Order Franciscans, the Paul Clares, or the many hundreds of congregations and lay people in the Third Order of St. Francis, is his charism, his spirituality, his love for the Eucharist, his love for Christ, his love for the Blessed Mother, which is his beautiful poem in honor of the Blessed Mother. Is just so beautiful, his love for her, his love for the saints, but his great love for the church, a truly Catholic man. I do want to end with just, you know, Francis has some beautiful sayings on the Eucharist, and I would just like to just read out one. It will only take a
absolutely
moment.
Father.
And it's from his letter to the entire order. You know, one of the things about Francis, and this is, I think, the last thing I want to mention, especially being a Franciscan, is that we don't know Francis from Hollywood. We don't know Francis from popular devotion. We actually know Francis from his own writings, which we have. We have all of his writings and from the early biographers. So we actually have a true sense of who Francis is. Let me read this beautiful part from the letter to the entire order which he wrote regarding the Eucharist. Let everyone be struck with fear. Let the whole world tremble, and let the heavens exult when Christ, the Son of the living God, is present on the altar in the hands of a priest. O wonderful loftiness and stupendous dignity! O sublime humility! O humble sublimity! The Lord of the universe, God and the Son of God, so humbles himself that for our salvation he hides himself under an ordinary piece of bread. Brothers, look at the humility of God and pour out your hearts before him. Humble yourselves that you may be exalted by him. Hold back nothing of yourselves for yourselves, that he who gives himself totally to you may receive you totally. Those are words of a man so in love with Jesus.
And that's what it's all about. Father Benedict LaVolpe, thank you so much for being with us here on the Feast of St. Francis. We really appreciate your time and that beautiful ending meditation from St. Francis.
You're very welcome, John. God bless you all. Have a great day.
St. Francis of Assisi, pray for us. Father Benedict LaVolpe, the rector and guardian of the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe at Marytown in Libertyville, Illinois. We need to take a break when Morning Air continues. Professor of Theology and author Annabelle Mosley will join us to discuss devotions to the saints for the month of October, including the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. So stay with us. There's a lot more to come as Morning Air continues after this short timeout.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
30 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It's good to be with you here on a Monday morning, the first Monday morning of the month of October. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you a new episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, the month of October is the month dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary, as well as Respect Life Month. There's also a number of very popular saints that we honor here in October, beginning with Saint Therese the Little Flower that we celebrated last Friday, not to mention the Feast of Saint Francis of Assisi that we just spoke about in the last half hour and we're celebrating today. Our next guest, Annabelle Mosley, will discuss with us a number of ways to honor the saints and devotions of October in your home and in your everyday life. Annabelle is an award-winning American poet, inventor of a new poetic form, the Mere Sonnet. She's also a professor of theology and the author of 11 books, including Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece Through Art, Poetry, and Reflections. Good morning, Annabelle. Welcome back to Morning Air. Always good to be with you.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you.
Annabelle, let's talk about this month of October that we've already begun, a month traditionally dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary and also to Respect for Life. Why is this month such a special month for us as Catholics?
Oh, it's one of my favorite months. It actually is my favorite month. I might be biased because my birthday is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
How can you beat that? Well, hey, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you, John. It means a lot coming from you. I think, you know, it's such a Marian, it's a Marian month. It's like, I just think it's the most beautiful month of autumn. Just like Mary gets the most beautiful month of May in the spring, she gets October for fall. And it's a month dedicated to our mother and, you know, and the rosary and so many Marian feasts and saints who loved Mary in the month. And it just makes sense to unite that to Respect Life Month. as our Heavenly Mother always points to respect for the unborn.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the first feast day of the month, which actually just passed last Friday, but it's still not too late to talk about St. Therese, the Little Flower, which we celebrate on October 1st, the Doctor of the Little Way. Why do you suppose, Annabelle, that she is just so beloved by so many people?
Oh. She is so brilliant, you know, to read A Story of a Soul. She's so humble, so sweet. She's actually one of my favorite saints. She's so sweet, and yet she's brilliant. If you read A Story of a Soul, you're just blown away by her genius. She had a genius, and yet always through humility, and basically telling all of us that no matter how small you feel, that's perfect, actually. It's in that smallness that we can come to Christ. So it's so heartening. It's so, no matter how you're feeling, she really cheers you up with feeling like, you know, I can do this. I can and should forge a way to holiness. And she would say wonderful things. One of my favorite quotes, well, I have two favorite quotes by her. One is that the world is your ship and not your home. So we're on a journey. This isn't the final destination. But the other is that she says, you know, God would never have inspired in me this desire to be a saint if it weren't possible, if he didn't want it for me. So she reminds me of when Pope John Paul II, who we'll get to later, they both would say, you've got to be a saint. This isn't something to say, oh, I'm not good enough to be a saint. No, if you want to get to heaven, you will be a saint. So let's start working for it now.
Absolutely. Annabelle, I picked up a little holy card at the Carmel, which is 5 minutes from where I live, the beautiful Carmelite monastery. And it has a picture of St. Therese, a young St. Therese. Obviously, she died. She was so young. She was only 24 years old. But on it, it has a rose. It has this beautiful rose underneath her photo. And it says, begin now. Do not wait until tomorrow to begin becoming a saint. And I think that so much summarizes what you just shared with us.
That is so beautiful. You know, I'll share with you, I just started the journey for becoming a third order Carmelite myself.
Oh, wow. So, congratulations.
And St. Therese awesome. Was my inspiration. Oh, thank you, John.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's an inspiration to so many people. I know she definitely has inspired me. In fact, I the more I read about her, I had no idea. You said she was brilliant. She obviously was brilliant, but she loved scripture, something that I never realized how much time she spent in the Word of God. I mean, she literally used to fall asleep with a Bible in her arms from what I've been reading, and she was extremely well-versed. It doesn't surprise me why she went on to become a doctor of the church.
She was so brilliant when it came to scripture, you're right. And you know, she was ahead of her time, for example, with the devotion to the Holy Face, which during her time, because she took the name St. Therese, of course, St. Therese of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face. And that devotion was brand new in her time. Very few people knew about it, but she was completely devoted to the Holy Face of Jesus. So that's another thing that she was sort of leading the way with. And many, many more now have discovered that devotion. But that's a wonderful thing to do in honor of her this October, is to pray all the beautiful prayers we could find online to the Holy Face of Jesus.
Absolutely. That sounds like a wonderful thing to do. You know, also Pope Pius X had some pretty amazing words about St. Therese, the Little Flower. He called her the greatest saint of modern times. I mean, that is very strong language coming from one of our Holy Fathers.
Yes, it is. And isn't it so, I think, beautiful to consider that that's exactly what she wanted. She would say, even though she was so humble, and she really was, she would say, oh, I want to be a great saint. That's what I want to do. So she had a holy ambition. And it encourages us that even as we follow her humble example, we should have a holy ambition to be a great saint like her.
Absolutely. What do you think is the one thing that we can really learn from this extraordinary saint and doctor of the church about the spiritual life? Remember, she once said, I will spend my heaven doing good on earth.
Well, the fact that she said that, I think, should make us never fear to reach out to her. You know, she's one of the most approachable saints, I think you could argue. I mean, every saint is approachable, right? But some are a little more intimidating or lesser, you know, less known. Or she basically is inviting us before she even dies, to please reach out to her, to say, you know, whatever good you need, I'll help you out. I want to spend my whole heaven that way. That's wonderfully encouraging. And the other thing I love to remember in terms of how we live our life is that quote I'll share again, the world is thy ship and not thy home. So when it gets too hard or difficult, we just remember it's part of the journey. It's part of what's forming us here. It's not always going to be easy. It certainly wasn't always easy for St. Therese, but it's part of what's forming us to get to our heavenly home.
Absolutely. We could spend a whole hour talking about just St. Therese, but we have more saints sure and devotions to get through here for the month of October. Obviously, the focus of this month is coming up in a couple days, and your birthday, October 7th, yes. We celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. Tell us a little bit about this feast.
Oh, it's just, well, I love it so much. So at the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and, you know, as Catholics, we're always reminded what Our Lady told us at Fatima, please pray the rosary every day. So it really is a request from our mother. You know, what would we deny her? And she asks us to do this. It's not just, it's a good idea. No, she asks us to do it every day. So what an important feast it is, because it really is something she wants us to do. And it's important to remember that whether the rosary, and you know, I teach theology. So I teach students, they're very sweet, and they'll share with me honestly. Some of them love the rosary. Some of them say, oh yeah, I pray it every day. I always have. It's my devotion. Some will share, you know, Professor, I really wish I liked it more. I feel bad admitting this, but I have a hard time praying it. And they'll ask me for a recommendation. They'll say, how do I look at it differently? And I'll always say, well, if you ever feel like it's a little too long to pray, or even a little bit boring, okay, sometimes that's a human, it's not ideal, but that feeling will pop up even in people who love the rosary. Just think of each Hail Mary as a way of saying, I love you. It's a way of saying, I love you, that brings joy to Our Lady. It's the greeting from the angel. It's her greeting from the angel and her greeting from St. Elizabeth, joined in one. And when we have someone that we love, our child, our parent, our spouse, we really never feel that we hear I love you too often. So if we look at it just simply, I'm just thinking of St. Therese, you know, in the little way, just thinking of it as a repetition of I love you. The Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary and every rosary we pray will just be infused with more and more love.
Absolutely. And we also can find strength. There's great power in the Holy Rosary. In fact,
yes.
It's been called the prayer of the gospel because it's much more than the recitation of the angelical salutation, the Hail
Indeed.
Mary. It's also a meditation on the entire gospel through the
That's
eyes
right.
of the Blessed Mother of the life of her son. It's so powerful if we really go deep into what the rosary is.
Exactly. And that's what Pope John Paul II loved, the scriptural rosary. So when you pray each mystery, go into the scripture behind it. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Any personal stories of what you've seen? I know the rosary is such a part of your ministry.
Oh, yes. Well, I have seen, you know, just how it can change lives. If someone's suffering and I say to them, just do me a favor, try the rosary, just try it, pray it every day. They'll come back and say, wow, I had no idea. It was in the doing it that I really found it changed my life. Just do it. Just pray it every day.
In case you haven't heard, here at Relevant Radio, along with EWTN and the Napa Institute, we're all teaming up together here in the month of October to promote the praying of the rosary to end legal abortion in our nation. We're looking for 1 million rosaries here in the month of October, and I think that this is a beautiful and unprecedented thing to have the two largest Catholic media organizations coming together, working together for this common cause.
Oh, count me in for that, John. I'll be joining my prayers to that.
Absolutely. If you have a special devotion to Our Lady of the Rosary or a comment or question for Annabelle Mosley, we have open lines. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Annabelle, we need to take a short little break, but we're going to continue our conversation with Professor of Theology and author Annabelle Mosley. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
But now it's a flight from reality itself.
Patrick Madrid.
We've turned in the direction of a denial of reality. Look at some of the, for example, gender ideology. Talk about the opposite of evidence and science-based. It's all about feelings and one's perception of oneself. I use that as just one example. Let me share a Bible passage with you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A strong delusion. I mean, one way to interpret that is that God withdraws from certain people. I wonder if that may be a description of what's going on right now.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us here on this Monday morning as we continue our conversation with Professor of Theology Annabel Mosley, the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as a Masterpiece. And we're talking about ways to honor the saints and our Blessed Mother here in the month of October, the month of Our Lady of the Rosary. Annabel, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Every time I hear that music, I always think of our beautiful wedding, my wife Cindy and I. That's the theme. That was the theme from our wedding. It's always a beautiful thing. So
what that is a great so way, beautiful
for sure. We're talking about honoring the saints, and coming up a little bit later this month, we have the feast of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque on October 16th. This beautiful sister. Famous for her devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. How can we honor St. Margaret Mary? What can we learn from her, especially about the Sacred Heart of our Lord?
Well, I love how she said, her words were this. She said, "This divine heart is an ocean full of joy to drown our folly, an ocean of mercy for those in distress, an ocean of love in which you can submerge poverty." So it gives us just such a beautiful reminder that when we're overwhelmed with life, the Sacred Heart remains open to us, you know, giving us joy and refuge. She shows us through her, I mean, her whole life was a witness to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's really thanks to her that the devotion was passed down to us. She's the saint that Jesus chose to really spread the devotion, explain the devotion. And in a time when so many hearts are broken, to see an image of our Lord, our King, pointing to his heart, which is totally unguarded and open to us, it's just so humbling, and it should make us just want to run right to that heart.
Absolutely. And that devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I know it's a special devotion to me. And I always see the connection centuries before St. Faustina between the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the divine mercy that we got in the 20th century with St. Faustina of Jesus. In fact, just the language of St. Margaret Mary speaking about this ocean of mercy sounds so similar to some of the language of St. Faustina.
Yes, they are devotions. They're devotions that really go hand in hand. And it all goes back to, of course, that moment on the cross when, all blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as an ocean of mercy for us. And even before that, the very first moment of devotion to the Sacred Heart comes at the Last Supper when St. John the Beloved rests his head on the heart of Jesus. So, and it's amazing because St. Margaret Mary actually had a vision of St. John the Beloved and asked him, you know, what was it like to rest your head on his heart? And he told her, oh, that's how I was able to, first of all, I learned so many secrets there. And that's what gave him the strength to stand at the cross. and not run away. So if we want the strength in our lives to kind of, you know, withstand whatever we're asked to withstand for our Lord in the Gethsemanes of our life, in the Calvaries of our lives, we need the Sacred Heart devotion.
Absolutely. And I think having a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart in our homes is a great way to honor St. Margaret Mary. What else can we do to honor our Lord through St. Margaret Mary Alacoque on her feast day?
Well, actually, starting on her feast day, October 16th, if you go to tourguideofwonder.com, that's Tour Guide of Wonder, you can sign up there for a consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's 33 days. And for each of the 33 days, you get sent to your inbox a little podcast, like 9 to 14 minutes long, guiding you in prayers. It follows the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So there's 33 lines in the litany, and there's therefore 33 days leading up to our consecration to the Sacred Heart. And this is a prayer companion. It has music, prayers, and wonderful reflections. So that's at tourguideofwonder.com, and it starts on St. Margaret Mary's feast day.
It sounds wonderful. And of course, we have in this month of October on the 22nd, the feast of St. John Paul II. John Paul the Great. Some people think that he's the greatest pope since St. Peter himself. How can we honor JP2?
Oh, he's so great. And we're so blessed, those of us who got to be alive while he was in the world, this wonderful saint. You know, circling back, I was just thinking about this, how it is the month of the Rosary. St. John Paul II was such a lover of the Rosary and of Mary. And he would tell us, one of my favorite quotes by St. John Paul II is, "Make your life a masterpiece." That's actually why, you know, I noticed in your introduction to me, you mentioned my book, Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece. I was actually inspired by the words of Pope St. John Paul II when he said, make your lives a masterpiece. And I really believe that his love of the Rosary teaches us that if we pray the Rosary every day, we will make our lives a masterpiece because we will imitate the mysteries.
And Annabelle, I think that his devotion to the Rosary came from his love of the Blessed Mother, passion
yes.
that he had dedicating his entire pontificate, totus tuus, to the Blessed Mother. He had these words that I still remember in my heart, never hesitate to go to Mary, the Mother of the Church, in the order of grace. Just a never-ending reminder of our Blessed Mother's role in our salvation.
And this from our beloved Pope, who himself lost his own mother, his earthly mother, when he was very young. And he ran to Mary. Mary was our Blessed Mother was a consolation to him in that loss. So the words become even more poignant, even more moving. This man really lived it. You know, this wonderful Pope and saint lived the feeling of missing his mom. And he could turn to Our Lady, and wow, did she come through for him. He even credited her with saving his life when he was shot. So he really witnesses for us.
Without a doubt. On a personal note, Annabelle, I got to tell you that St. John Paul II, for me, is my favorite. He's the co-patron of Relevant Radio. We invoke him at the top of the hour in prayer every single day when we pray the Hail Mary. I had the blessing of meeting him with my mother back in 2002 at a papal audience at the Vatican, and had this beautiful photograph in my office. Never-ending reminder of those 60 seconds in which I was face-to-face with greatness.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's just I don't think that I would be working in Catholic media. You know, the Lord took me out of the sports reporting world to Relevant Radio if it wasn't for John Paul II. So we could definitely talk about him for hours.
But I'm sure he's still looking over you now and just beaming with pride.
Without a doubt.
The good work
Holy Father,
doing,
have a beautiful photo of him here dressed in this long white coat that you don't see him too often, holding a rosary in his hand on the back.
Wow.
It is not enough to discover Christ, you must bring him to others. The world today is one great mission field, even in countries of longstanding Christian tradition. And that was our JP2.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have a rosary that he gave my grandfather when my grandfather was suffering from cancer. And so, I mean, it's just amazing how many lives he touched. And you're right, just a moment, just one bit of contact with him and you're forever changed.
Without a doubt. Coming up also later at the end of the month, we have a feast dedicated to a couple of the apostles, St. Simon and Jude. How can we honor these two martyrs, these apostles, on their feast day coming up on the 28th of October?
I think I have a great way to do that. You know, Saint Jude, of course, is pretty famous, I think, as the patron saint of hopeless cases. Saint Simon is a little bit lesser known, but he is known. It's pretty commonly known that he was called the Zealot. So Saint Simon the Zealot, and those two apostles were martyred together. That's why we celebrate them on the same day. So of course, it's a good reminder that we should be willing to give it all to our Lord. But here's what we can do. On their feast day, October 28th, let us be zealous, right, like St. Simon, for hopeless cases like St. Jude. So what would be something we could be zealous for? Zealous for hopeless cases. Well, I think it's for resolving to pray for the unborn. And Fulton Sheen, Bishop Fulton Sheen, wrote this wonderful spiritual adoption of an unborn baby who's in danger of abortion. And it's very, very brief, but we can pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg you to spare the life of the unborn baby that I have spiritually adopted who is in danger of abortion. Amen. And we pray that. If we pray that every day for 9 months, that's what Fulton Sheen advised. It's like we're, you know, through God's grace, interceding for that baby. So let's do that for St. Simon and Jude. Let's be zealous for a hopeless case and bring hope.
Absolutely. Invoking Archbishop Fulton Sheen is a wonderful thing that we can do. And also here in this month of October, I know you have a number of ways that we can make the rosary really come to life to be a true lifesaver here in this month. We have about 30 seconds. If you could just share a couple quick points.
Sure. I recommend that after every decade that we pray, you know, right after the Fatima prayer, we add in, O good Jesus, protect and save the unborn. And it's a wonderful way to make every single rosary also remember the lives of the unborn. O good Jesus, protect and save the unborn.
Annabelle, Professor, it's been a joy to be with you. Thank you so much for your insights and all your passion and love for our Lord and our Lady here in this month of October.
Thank you so much, John. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Annabelle Mosley, award-winning American poet, the author of Sacred Braille. For much more, you can go to AnnabelleMosley.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today, as we dive back in, maybe to the world of work on a Monday, are you a leader or a boss? By H. Gordon Selfridge. The boss drives his men, the leader coaches them. The boss depends upon authority, the leader on goodwill. The boss inspires fear, the leader inspires enthusiasm. The boss says I, the leader we. The boss fixes the blame for the breakdown, the leader fixes the breakdown. The boss knows how it's done, the leader shows how it's done. The boss says go. The leader says, let's go. Mark 9, 34, 35. But they remained silent. They'd been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, you'll hear my conversation with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, who spoke to us about the meaning of the main aisle of the church, which is a symbol of our journey of life, starting with the procession from our baptism all the way to the altar. And political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, will be with us to give his perspective on the Haitian migrants crisis at the U.S. Mexico border. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.